If you want to be inspired, this is the episode for you. I just spoke to Allison Vile. Wow. The journey that she has been on that could have destroyed her, God used for good. She was on the verge of suicide because of her company and all the people she let down and all of the betrayal and things that have happened. But Allison is such an amazing human being. Like, this episode touched my core so deeply. She owns her story and all that she has been through. And she shows people how to step into the arena of their lives, how to really step into their power. You're not going to want to miss this episode. This was such a moving, beautiful episode. I am so touched. I am going to be quiet now because I need you to really take this in. I can't wait to hear what you think. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Thank you guys so much for being here. I love you guys so much because you guys have been putting me on the map. The numbers are growing. I think we have like 150,000 downloads and all this great stuff is happening. And I'm super, super stoked that you are taking the time to listen to the amazing humans that I find to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. Today is no exception, okay? Because today on this episode of Straight Talk, we have Allison Vile. So hopefully I said that right. She's an award-winning entrepreneur and founder of the Creative Stone Company. It's a leader in South Africa's construction industry with over 25 years in business. Allison has also made a name as a coach, a speaker, a storyteller, inspiring others with her journey on their journey. Okay, from political activism to empowering entrepreneurs as an executive partner at the Mindset Development Institute. I mean, her resume is long, y'all. Okay, so I'm really happy that she is here. She's also known as a soul speaker. And Allison's message of owning your story and stepping into true power is one you don't want to miss. I really enjoy talking to this woman, so I cannot wait to have this conversation. Allison, thank you so much for being on Straight Talk.
It's just wonderful to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. And I know that you're on the other side of the world, but yes. It's so beautiful that we have something like this to connect each other, even though we're in two different worlds, right? It's amazing. So who are you, Allison? Tell us, who are you?
Oh, I'm a woman who took 60 years to find her identity, to own her voice, and to have the courage to tell her story. And in the last 6 years, that's what my journey has been, stepping into faith to tell my story so that I can touch other people's lives, to let them know that their stories matter.
You know what's so deep about that is I am a very big believer that our stories don't belong to us anymore. That the things that we go through in life are not for us only, but for our fellow man, right? And so I want to get into your story a bit, if you don't mind. Tell us about that. Why come to 60 years to get to this point? Obviously, there's things that have happened that have made you feel like it's time, right, to reach other people with your story. So tell us a little about that journey.
The journey started as a very shy, invisible child who didn't really feel like she belonged in her family. I was plump and spotty, and the rest of my family was sporty. And I thought, I've been delivered to the wrong address. How did I land up so different? But in that journey, I think I became deeply observant, very much the spectator. but that made me very sensitive to the nuances of what I saw in the world. And so I grew up in apartheid South Africa. And until the age of six, I was really playing in the streets and not realizing what a kind of society we really lived in. Mm. And a series of political awakenings in my life really led me to become a political activist. And one was at the age of six, going to an orphanage on the other side of the railway line with my father and seeing how most of the people in South Africa lived. And that was my first awakening. Then going to Dachau concentration camp was a pivotal moment in my life when my father said, I want you to be a global citizen. I'm going to send you to an ordinary government school, but I want you to be a global citizen. And that day made such an impact on my life that I saw things that I could not unsee. Mm-hmm. And that was at 13 years old. I came back to South Africa, and at 19 years old, I had another pivotal awakening when I attended a church camp, Anglican Students Movement Congress, with a man who was not yet known at all. His name was Desmond Tutu, who went on to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Mm. And that extraordinary conference with students of color from throughout South Africa in the height of apartheid South Africa was a pivotal awakening. And after that, I rode the bus of political activism for 20 years. And that shaped the very values of my life. Mm-hmm. I think it shaped my work ethic. I think it shaped my ability to always work collaboratively, that it's not about me. So it really shaped my leadership perspective. And after that, I became an entrepreneur for 26 years and was the public face of the company for 20 years. And that was another roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And halfway through, we were humbled and brought to our knees with a massive fraud. And we had to rebuild our company.
Wow.
Rebuild staff morale, rebuild our marriage. And I had to rebuild myself. And that fraud became our greatest gift. And that began a whole journey of personal transformation, which is the foundation of what I speak and write about now. So that's in a synopsis.
Yeah, of course, because that's, you know, that's 20, 40 years of like experiences, right? It's so beautiful that we can go through those experiences, and all of us have such different maps onto where we get to this point in our life, right? And because a lot of leaders and entrepreneurs and stuff like that listen to the show, I'd like to, we don't have to go to what exactly happened if that's not what you're comfortable sharing, but I do want to know how you got through that, because it's one thing to say we got through it, we rebuilt, but how did you rebuild, right? So many people have lost their businesses, their jobs, they're feeling as if they can't get it back or they don't know how to recover, right? So do you remember those moments? Do you remember, because I'm sure that, when I lost my business, I literally was in the bathroom just crying, like shower. I don't know if there was more rain, water coming from the shower or coming from my eyes, right? So I'm just wondering what those moments were for you and how you said, okay, it's time to rebuild.
I had to be humbled and on my knees to find a different way. And I remember the Monday morning after discovering the extent of the internal fraud over eight long years amounted to the extent of $1.2 million in today's currency.
Oh.
And so although we weren't bankrupt because you could only create double beneficiaries in the main account in a very sophisticated, very manipulative way. She had a severe gambling problem. And she had a suspended sentence for fraud. And she came through established employment agency that we'd worked for a long time. So it was a series of, and we found that the auditing company that we worked with wasn't nearly as qualified as their huge offices and glamorous cars portrayed. And they also came to us highly recommended. So this was, it was a comedy of errors if it wasn't so incredibly tragic. Right. And I was on my knees because when we started the company, everybody said, what on earth do those two know about running a company? I was an ex-trade unionist and my husband was more with several trades behind his name, but not a financial. So at this point, we had egg on our face and we were broken because everything people had said to us had been proved true. For the first 4 years, for the first 12 years as we built up, we'd been flying. We'd been featured on television, radio, in Entrepreneur magazines. And then we discovered this. Wow. And so ironically, even though it didn't bankrupt us, it broke us. It broke us on the inside of our very core. Yeah. And I remember the Monday after finding out the extent of this through getting an audit trail from the bank and a very sophisticated way of uncovering a network of 11 different accounts that she used.
Wow.
I remember that morning walking over to the office and pausing at the entrance to this beautiful classical garden that we created and thinking, what was this all for? We built up this incredible company. It was a company of service, just to serve our clients. And now we've got egg on our face. And I had to pick my way over those walkways through the garden, past her office, and greet her because she couldn't know that we knew, like the best actress Ollie would have ever seen.
That's hard, Allison. That's hard.
I tell you, Charlize Theron would have been proud of me. And I used a pseudonym in the book. In my book, I use a pseudonym because she then did get a sentence of 15 years and she served it and done her time and half the time. And she's, you know, she's moved on with her life. And I hope she's rehabilitated from her very severe gambling addiction. But in terms of us, you know, there were days where I could hardly get out of bed.
Yeah.
But I knew that I had families to look after. And this wasn't about me anymore.
Yeah.
And we were employing 150 people at that stage. And in South Africa, every single person employed feeds a family.
Right.
And so it was something bigger than us. We were broken, but we still had to lead in our brokenness. But from that brokenness came my greatest gift. Because from being an anxious, depressed, emotional eating, yo-yo dieting person, in the course of that period, I knew something had to change. And it was like a whisper in my soul, there must be another way. And I found myself at the entrance to a gym. I'd never stepped foot in a gym my entire life. And I slunk into that gym in my big baggy pants, having been 30 kilograms up, 30 kilograms down. And I found a personal trainer. And for the first year, I was in victim mode. And I was, you know, really miserable. And the poor man, he does leadership work. So I think he had a saintly cloak about him to deal with his miserable woman. And after an entire year, something shifted inside of me. And I started to live more in my body and less in my head.
Mm.
And that's what I talk and write about so much. That from that journey on, I started to run. And then I started doing regular 21K races. And then I started to swim and do yoga and reformer Pilates and weights and hiking and paddleboarding. And now, at the age of turning 66, it's my birthday on Monday, I look and feel younger than I did inside when I was so broken at 52.
Yeah.
And I believe that what's changed is that I changed not the shape of my body, but I changed the shape of my soul. Because I have not weighed myself for 8 years. Not once. The only scale we have in our house is the little hook behind the door to weigh our luggage.
Right.
And so that's been my journey. And it's been my own long walk to freedom.
Yeah.
That's what it's been.
It's absolutely beautiful, right? The things that are supposed to break us make us stronger. Because not only did you go through the financial hurt in the But the betrayal of a friend or betrayal of a coworker, somebody who's been with you a long time, that hurts. And it hurts because you're not just looking at, oh, you took money from me. You're looking at, you took money from me? You know what I'm saying? Like, we probably broke bread together. I'm sure we've had coffee together. Like, because after 8 years of employment, you become friends. You know, so it's that loss as well, right? It's the loss of a friend as well. The loss of connection, the loss of relationship. And then to walk into your building again when everybody knows what happened.
Yes, that, right? I think was almost the hardest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we had resources to rebuild the company. And then we could buy new trucks. And then, you know, it actually got better after that.
Right.
And we had very good coaching and mentoring for 13 years with a business coach. We had a very deep relationship. We built incredible systems. We got detailed financial packs. But you're absolutely right, Nina. It was that kind of emotional betrayal. We couldn't believe it at first. We thought, can't be. She was such a trusted member of our family. We're right. A family company.
Yes.
We're not a corporate company. Our whole ethos is about family. We'd given her timeshare weekends and given her paving and
right.
all, you know, it was just, that's the kind of company we are. People creep into our hearts. I come from that sort of collaborative background where it's not us, it's our teams that got us there.
Yeah.
So I think that looking into the eyes of people that looked at us with such derision and said, the unspoken message said, what stupid bosses do we work for?
Right,
that, I think,
right.
Nina, was a dagger in my heart.
Yeah.
When they didn't know all the pieces of the puzzle that fitted together to get to that point.
Right.
But ironically, sometimes, like you say, we've got to be so humbled to crack open in order to really let life touch us.
Yeah.
And I felt that there were several moments in my life when God touched my life in my political awakening then and subsequently on my journey. And so that's been the journey of that series of awakenings that has led me to become a person that can inspire others.
Yeah,
your darkest hour, you might see just a hint of light at the edge of the cave. You might not even know how to crawl towards that light.
Mm.
But there is a tiny little slither of light that beckons your way out.
I love that God did that with you and for you, because we do get comfortable. You know, same with me. I got super comfortable. I have six figures, so I'm comfortable sitting back.
Yes.
And God pulls the rug and you're like, no! But it really made me pour myself more into my business and to the people and all of that. But I want to talk about that, because now you're at that place, right, where God humbled you. You got there, right? And it's in the broken that we become beautiful. I really believe that. Right.
Yes.
And so I love that you connected. Let me start, even though it took you a year, because it probably would have taken me that longer to actually start working towards feeling better inside and out. Right. All of that connects itself. I want to know about what you do with people today, because that pivotal moment wouldn't have given you what you have today, right? What you're doing in other people's lives today. So let us know what it is you're doing today with people. How do you help others right now?
I think I help others through my deeply vulnerable storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not a how-to speaker. I don't talk policies and procedures.
Right.
I talk from the very guts of my brokenness. And that seems to evoke in people a deep sense of hope in their story. And so that has been my greatest gift, is walking that journey to greater wholeness.
Yeah.
And how I can share from a woman who was so disassociated from her body. I was like a walking head. I was completely disassociated from my body. And now I literally live in my body. And that's why I talk about cellular intelligence, that our mindset is not just in our mind. Our mindset is in our body. It's in our mind state and our cellular state. And that is where I've developed a fascination for what I call identity intelligence, because it took so long for me to find my true voice and my true identity, which I believe is a writer that speaks and a speaker that writes. But I think what really I try and share with people is that going to self-development seminars and being an eternal student of other people's wisdom did not shift the hole in my soul. Ooh. It was only when I got off the mountain and got into the arena myself, as Marcus Aurelius says, being in the arena.
Yeah.
And when I got into the arena, the gladiator I had to fight was not somebody else. It was the old version of myself.
Yes. What did that look like, getting in that arena?
It was so scary initially. So scary. But every time I grew, and every time I got bruised and I got up, I felt alive. Mm. At least I was learning, and at least I was being, and God was shaping me every single time I got into that arena. And even now, every single time I get on stage, very often people in the audience cry because they're so touched by my story, or elements right. of the story touches a chord in them, whether it's yeah. growing up in it with a bipolar family, or the journey of the political activism, or the entrepreneurial journey, or how writing healed me. And so I think that's what I bring to the world, is the gift I got from finally being brave enough to own my story and to step into the arena so that my courage could become somebody else's courage.
I love that so much. I want to touch a little bit on that journey, because I'm sure that shame and forgiveness played a big part. I would love to touch on that with you if you're open to that. I want to touch on, we talked a little bit about the shame of having to walk in and see your employees. I'm sure that was also very shameful for the clients who might have found out and all of that kind of stuff, right? How did you overcome the shame, and how did you, or did you, forgive this person who did this damage?
Okay, there's an interesting backstory to this. That fraud happened on the back of something that happened to me when I was 29 years old and when I was a political activist. Mm. And I let down thousands of workers that I'd represented in a court case. And it was the deepest shame of my life. Mm-hmm. And I had to work through that shame in order to write my book at 60. The court case was not difficult at all. It was difficult at the time to work through the shame, because I think it triggered the past shame. You know how we trigger our past tapestry comes yes. up? But honestly, when that court case in Cape Town happened, when I was a trade unionist, I felt like that podcast, I don't know if you've heard it, Monica Lewinsky talking about shame.
I felt
so steeped in shame. And my book opens with me feeling suicidal in that period, driving weekend after weekend along the edge of the cliff, wanting to end it all, because I had let down thousands of people and shamed the incredible organization that had given me a home as a pale white girl in the African community. And it was the deepest shame of my life. And that's the shame I had to really let go of to write my book.
Yeah, yeah.
But somehow, so the forgiveness of the bookkeeper was really, I never had any anger towards her. I actually felt sorry for her she was this victim of her circumstances, and I understood that. So both my husband and I, that forgiveness, I wasn't angry. I was more shattered with how to cope with it.
Yeah.
But the deeper shame was getting through that. And so part of the way I got through that was being able to write it and being able to plop those words on the page was probably the hardest part of the book, but it is what healed me. And I've got a beautiful paragraph at the end of my book, which says, writing healed me. Writing made me whole.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful whole bit about how writing healed my life. So that's my real story about
shame. So good. Okay. Tell us about your book. Give us the name of the book. I'm picking up this book. Give us everything. I want to know.
My book is called Belonging, Finding Tribes of Meaning.
I love that.
And it's a story of a woman's walk to wholeness. But it's a story set against the backdrop of a country looking for wholeness and searching for celebration. So it's a history. It's an evolution of the history of the country from the 1960s right up to the 94, the transition, to the subsequent journey, the challenges we faced, the recent corruption, period of corruption, to this now era of hope, which we are now living in this particular year. As I launched my book, I mean, God's timing is kind of impeccable that my book came out to coincide with a new era in our country where we formed a government of national unity after 30 years of ANC rule. And I worked directly under the current president, Cyril Ramaphosa. So I was steeped in that background. But now political parties that were before regarded as kind of enemies are having to work together to rebuild and find a way forward. And that's why I believe my book is an incredible symbol of hope in the US, where there are so many divisions and a sense of not belonging and sense of dividedness. And so in April this year, I spoke at a Global Writers Summit in Las Vegas and spoke about, with my business partner, Jabri Zwani, about belonging in a divided world. Well,
so good.
We got a standing ovation and people were just crying because I think it touched a chord in them.
Yes.
And it was a message of hope beyond color, beyond complexion, beyond culture to our common humanity. And I hope that that's the voice my book brings to the world.
Yeah, and I know that it will because you do. You exude it. It's a beautiful thing to see. And I think it's definitely in a time right now, especially after all the political stuff and all the divisions and all the, you're this color, you're that color, you're this religion. It's just ugly. And we have, you know, like I was saying, talking to someone about this recently, because they were talking about the division. And my neighbors, they happen to be white. They live next door. I'm Latina, right? And we moved here recently and they were outside and we introduced ourselves. So they were an older couple. So we started helping them take out their garbage, you know, things like that. But they both passed away within a few months of each other. I never once asked her or him what religion, what political party they're associated with. I never even asked their culture. You know, it doesn't matter. What mattered is that they were my neighbors. And we wanted to be there for our neighbor. And if everybody just took care of themselves, their household, and their neighbor, we would not have so much division and ugliness. And a lot of it has to do with, for me anyway, a lot of stuff on like mainstream media and the news. They used to be able to give you the news. Now they give you opinions. And that's just not a way to be. I love what you're doing, Allison, in the world. I love how you're showing up in the world. I'm so grateful to God for you. And I'm grateful to God you're giving you the ability, right, to overcome these things. Because a lot of times we don't overcome it. I have been where you've been, where I've driven close to an edge and like, you know, it would be so easy. Yeah, it would be so easy. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I'm so grateful for the broken pieces because he puts you back together with gold, right? He's so amazing. And so, Allison, I have to pick up your book. I just got to follow you everywhere. So while I'm doing that, I know people are listening and feeling the same. So can you tell us how we can connect with you or follow you or pick up your book, all of that kind of stuff? I really want to know.
Thank you. My book is available on Amazon and obviously in South Africa at bookstores here and at events here. But I have such a heartfelt calling in my soul for it to be picked up in the US. When I wrote it, I just had that, deep sense of connection. I can't even put it into words. And so I would love it if people gave me feedback on what it touched in them. And so you can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and I do regular events in South Africa. I do summits. I speak globally at conferences. And now that I've stepped into the arena, I know God is by my side.
Yes.
And now I have become not broken, but unstoppable, because I know I'm just the messenger.
Allison, you are a gift to me, to my audience, to the world. Thank you so much from all the way on the other side of the world. I'm hoping to go to Africa soon. My really close friend is from Africa and she's going, I think, next year. She keeps insisting I go with her and I really want to go. But thank you so much for being here. I truly appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
A beautiful, beautiful conversation. Ah, God, thank you so much for Allison. Father, thank you so much. And everyone who's listening, thank you so much for picking up her book, for giving her the feedback she's requesting. And go ahead and leave reviews and all that, because it's super important to a writer to see that their writing has impacted others. And I really know that this conversation has impacted you in big ways. So Allison, happy birthday also to you and to everyone listening. I love you so much. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, send this book out to friends and family and everything else, because this is like, you know, when you meet a gem, when you meet someone who is inspiring and golden to just in the ear gates and the eye gates, just she's an amazing human, right? And when we find amazing humans, we should embrace them, love them, and watch them as they step into the arena, because it's a beautiful thing. Thank you guys for being here. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.